redundant, but we aren't professionals, and so we're just trying to state it as best we can. Number five, place barriers on Blue Lake Trail to prevent entry into the gated community. Number six, prior to beginning construction of nightly rentals and or timeshares, construct the north road off of the Fountain Circle for all construction and future traffic. And lastly, honor the current contracts with property owners regarding height of structures below Splendor View, generally that no structures be built higher than one story above grade in parcels 5 and 6. And I believe that's what Gail Meyer just suggested, if I understand that correctly. And there are many areas that we do agree on. It's just the location of the nightly rentals. So I'd like to ask all those that are in attendance for a vote of no for nightly rentals in all, that keyword all, of Whisper Cove to please stand up, because I know we have the majority of the neighbors and we do have some other interested parties here tonight. And so, commissioners, you've got in your packets also, not the packet that we gave you, but the packet that Marla Pierce gave you, you have letters from two other residents or emails that could not be here tonight. I have copies of those if you want those read. So, again, thank you for your consideration and considering preserving our gated residential community just as it was advertised and just the way we purchased it. So thank you all for your time, and I'm happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Thank you.
I have two questions.
Okay.
You said place barriers on Blue Lake Trail to prevent entry into the gated community. So it's gated. Mm-hmm. With what type of barriers?
Blue Lake Trail is already built, and it does continue on and then stop at one point. And if you look at the master plan, the folks on the west side, or where we know there would be timeshare, nightly rentals, or whatever, would have the ability to drive through Blue Lake Trail and up into the community. Currently, that's undeveloped land. So we were just suggesting barriers, concrete barriers or something, just so that our gated community couldn't be used as a shortcut out to 265. And it would maintain the security of the gated community.
You'd want a barrier on the east side of the power lines.
Excuse me, mm-hmm. sir. You're, mm-hmm. you're not in the...
I'll start showing on the map.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Do you have a big one of those? For the screen?
Do you want to point up there?
Oh, okay.
Okay. The Meyer residence is up here. Our residence is this building right here. And this is Blue Lake Trail. And you can see how it comes on around, and somewhere right in here, the asphalt stops and it becomes a dirt road. It also kind of turns this corner and come down. And in the master plan, the roads are designed to come over this way so folks could drive up and over. So we were suggesting a barrier or a gate somewhere down in here. And neighbors, I'd love for them to correct me on that if I've got it in the wrong place.
Okay.
East of the power lines. Yeah, here are the power lines. Okay, so right there. In other words, we want to preserve everything over here as family residences or homeowner-maintained, or not homeowner-maintained, but where you live there as a permanent residence, not have traffic scooting up through there.
Does that answer your question?
Is right up here. It comes down into all of this area. That probably makes more sense.
And then you said residents were here, but interested parties. What is the definition of interested party?
Somebody that's been following this, that has been looking at the vacant residences and interested in purchasing.
But does not own property.
They don't currently own, but the outcome of this case or the hearing determines whether they're going to purchase in there or not.
Anything else?
I don't believe so. Thank you.
Okay, thank you guys.
Good evening, Commissioners. My name is Perry Garrett. I live at 145 Splendor View. I just want to take this moment to thank you for hearing us today, and I wish I could have been here during the last meeting, but I was sick, so I was not here. Just a quick little background for my wife and I, Rhonda, who's sitting right here beside me. We did not plan on moving down here until sometime this summer. We happened last summer to be just driving around looking, getting some ideas, because it's been our dream to live down here on the lake. So we happened to be driving through, and we found this beautiful little place called Whisper Cove. We kept looking at it and looking at it, and we said, you know, we're not even ready to move yet. We still have our house in Ozark. We haven't even begun to get ready to sell. Well, because it was everything that we wanted, we went ahead and bought. And we're still to this date working on a house in Ozark. So we jumped on this because it was perfect. It was everything that we wanted, everything that we were told, that it was a private gated special community. The neighbors are all wonderful. We have a very special thing where we are, okay? So that's why we are here now, okay? Everything changed once we found out about these zoning changes. Just a brief little background on my experience, and one reason I'm speaking is I've been in the timeshare industry for 16 years, since 2003. I worked in numerous locations throughout the country, but mostly here in Branson. And in that 16 years, I see on a daily basis the kind of traffic that is brought in through the timeshare industry. Okay. Currently, if this zoning change were to move forward and allowing nightly rentals and or timeshare, it would destroy what we have now. Okay. We've tried to get the Meyer Development to work with us on securing that. And the solutions that you keep bringing up are not addressing some of the very important facts to our covenants and restrictions, which I'll get to in a second. Okay. At the end of a meeting we had prior to this last meeting here in April, Mr. Meyer and I were leaving his hotel down the back stairwell, and he asked me who I worked for, and I told him Wyndham Resorts. Well, he at that point had offered and told me that he had been contacted by several timeshare companies to develop that property that he owns. And at that point, that alarmed me because I know the kind of money that timeshare generates compared to a nightly rental business. After he told me that, I shared that with some of my neighbors. And it's actually my opinion and my belief that the nightly rental, although that's what's being brought forth, that's probably not, if I were a businessman, I would develop a timeshare, 1,000 to 1. The cost associated with a nightly rental compared to a timeshare, the timeshare developer has no cost other than building per se. Okay. All the other maintenance, upkeep, utilities, taxes, everything else is passed on to the consumer who buys the timeshare. And it is so much more profitable. It is not unheard of for us to do over $500,000 a day in timeshare sales. Okay. So I got to looking at the master plan and looking at the numbers of units that his plan proposes. It proposes 130 townhomes, 192 condo units, which is 322 total, not to mention our street of Splendor View. If you just consider 300 units and the traffic that that would generate coming in and out, because as it exists, we just have one way in and one way out. That in itself, and then if you add the timeshare tours in a day, just a low average of 75, they're coming in and going out. And then the employees required to staff that resort, the sales operation, the contracts, all the people involved in that operation, you're talking about 450 cars a day going each way into and out of that development. That, if you multiply just once in and once out, that's roughly 900 cars a day passing down Blue Lake Trail. That road is not built for that. That is just a mere 20 to 30 feet from the back of our decks. Even when one car goes through there, we hear it and we see it. I could not imagine upwards of 900 per day. That's not even to mention the construction equipment to go in and build that out. So Now, to address the zoning request change to nightly rentals, within our covenant restrictions, which you have a copy of the first 7 pages of 21 pages that were submitted into the Taney County. If you look on page 3, 2A, towards the bottom, it's highlighted, I believe. It speaks to the use of land. For purpose of this declaration, the following uses of land are permitted. And to get back, if you look at the front page, these are for parcels 5 and 6, which is what we're talking about on the east side of the power line, okay, where we reside. In 2A, it says the dwelling units, with the exception of any such units during the time period when they are being used by the declarant as a sample, model, or sales office. So when these dwelling units are restricted to single family attached or detached residential uses, the dwelling units may not be used for any other purpose by the unit owner or any future unit owner. No present or future owner of any unit shall permit his dwelling unit to be used or occupied for any purpose other than as a single family private residential dwelling unit. So clearly just that initial part there precludes the ability to actually put in any timeshare rental units there or nightly rental units. And then if you look on page 7, A, it speaks to the buildings or other uses for the residential purposes. And in 10A, it says, except as otherwise provided in Section 2, which we just referenced, and Section 9, which talks to fencing and things like that. It says, no lot shall ever be used, and no dwelling unit or exterior structure or other improvement shall ever be placed, erected, or used for business, professional, trade, or commercial purposes on any lot. Then it goes on to mention home offices are allowed as long as there's no traffic for them. So clearly, even a nightly rental unit would be a commerce, a business. So these two things that are already in our covenants and restrictions and conditions, which are the bylaws, if you will, that we live under, they're the things that we can and cannot do. And we bought into these properties being told that nightly rentals are not allowed. Okay. There's one provision in number 2 that states that any unit owners can rent another property if they need to for a family member, or if they're under extreme financial hardship, they can request a exemption to lease it for a minimum of 9 months. But these covenants already restrict his ability to do what he's wanting to change. And that's not what we bought. Finally, to get to another issue, public safety. Highway 65, to where we turn on to Santa Fe Drive, there's no shoulders, no center turn lanes, or anything there, okay? I went to MoDOT's website today, and there's a 2016 Southwest District traffic count for that section of 265 Highway. And 3 years ago, there was 5,668 cars a day on that road, and commercial trucks, 331. That's just one shy of being 6,000 per day traveling that road. Now, I'm sure we're all familiar with that road. If you come from either direction, you're coming from a blind curve or a hill, and then as soon as you come around a bend, you'll see where Santa Fe sits right there in the middle. If there's upwards of 900 cars a day trying to turn into that development, because that's the only way in is on Santa Fe, there's going to be cars backed up on 265. That's going to be a major traffic problem there, a very serious public safety issue, because the road is not designed for that without a center turn lane or shoulders. So that's a very major concern there as well, okay? And in closing, one thing I've learned to love in just the 6 or 7 months I've lived on Whisper Cove is the neighborhood that we live in. I've never, in 24 years of my street in Ozark, I only knew a few of my neighbors. Within 2 months, I know all my neighbors here. we all get together, we share common bonds and interests.